Welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the most important, and now we have affirmation, also the largest, by a considerable margin, segment of American society. To those who know that the world's political, religious, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they're counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, which will begin with IQ Al Rasuli, is toll-free, 877-300-7645. IQ, my good friend. IQ is the author of Lifting the Veil. It is the best topical presentation of the most important themes of Islam. It's available through Amazon.com. IQ, as I survey the news this morning, I see a rather distinct difference between the way that the Israelis dealt with the kidnapping and subsequent murder of three of their boys by Hamas and the way that Muslims are reacting to what is at this point only unfounded claims. How would you respond?
Why should you be surprised? First of all, nobody knows whether this was done by Israelis or done by Hamas.
Yeah, can I stop you there for a moment? Can I stop you there for a moment? I just because I want to emphasize, before we go on to the reaction, I want to emphasize the point you just made. You and I are have made a habit, IQ, of examining the history and behavior of and the scriptures of Muslims. And what we find is that Muslims have routinely killed their own and staged the killing of their own for political and religious objectives. And that Jews very seldom will kill somebody in cold blood as a means of dealing with an opponent. The likelihood is actually, I'm not convinced one way or the other at this point. I'd say that the likelihood is 75% that Muhammad was killed by another person named Muhammad.
I wouldn't be surprised. This is exactly what I was saying. By the way, if humanity just sits down and thinks logically, right, which they don't usually do, the Jews, using the same psychological profile of a Muslim, should have been killing Germans for the last 65 years. They should have been murdering them, slaughtering them, raping them, blowing them up.
Correct.
After all, the Nazis murdered 6 million Jews.
Right.
But the Jews don't do that.
No.
The Jews were persecuted by the Christians for 1,700 years.
Right.
The Jews don't burn churches. They don't kill Christians. Muslims do that all the time. Whether there is a good reason, and invariably because there is no good reason. And they have demonstrated the way they behave. I mean, really, I don't understand why humanity is so stupid. All they are doing is look at your television set and see how Muslims behave. Obnoxious, obscene, always in anger, always screaming and shouting blood. One hand carrying a machine gun, a machete or a dagger, and the other hand is the so-called holy book of Quran. And yet it doesn't register. With 90% of Americans and Europeans, it doesn't register.
IQ, what you just said is brilliant. You know, I was covering yesterday that if you look at Jewish behavior and their mindset, the idea of killing someone in cold blood to avenge the death of another and to respond to an intolerant regime violently is just wholly inconsistent with their behavior and character. But what you said is far more profound. It's consistent with what I said. It's just considerably more brilliant. What you said is that if the behavior of Jews were consistent with what the Muslims masquerading as Palestinians are saying, then you would be expecting, you would have expected Jews to have sought out the murder of Germans for the last 40 or 50 years. You would have expected Jews to seek out the murder of Italian Romans. You would have expected Jews to seek out and murder Christians, because all of them did this to them in far greater numbers than the Muslims have done.
And yet people don't put two and two together. And yeah. It's so simple.
Yeah,
and Jewish reaction is mm-hmm. not too much. I'm not saying that in this particular case it is impossible that somebody couldn't have done it who is a Jew. No.
Right.
All I'm saying is that the probability that it is done by Muslims is much greater than the probability it's being done by Jews. That's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
Yeah. My point was 75%. Just looking at, you know, I like probabilities of because I think that probabilities are the essence of rational thought. And so I like probabilities. My assessment was 75%. It was more likely that it was done by a Muslim than a Jew. But this is something that you missed in your presentation of this, which I think is equally important. And maybe you were leading to it, and then I interrupted you. The difference is also that in Islam, as you have pointed out, killing and revenge killing in particular is systematic. For example, the Caliph Ibrahim, the self-proclaimed leader of the Islamic world, said that all Muslims need to swear their allegiance to him and they need to join the jihad because Muslims have been wronged. So Islam is just based on this idea of lashing out because it has been wrong. Now, it's never the case. It's the one who is wrong, and it's the perpetrator, not the victim. But the mindset of Muslims is that we are the victim, and so collectively, Islam, religiously, politically, culturally, does what we witnessed with the three Jewish boys that were kidnapped and murdered. Judaism and Israeli politics are exactly the opposite of that. So while there is the possibility that one Jewish individual made a horrid and immoral mistake of grave consequence to his people, while there is that possibility, there is no possibility that that individual behavior can be associated with the collective that is Israel.
Absolutely right. I want people also, if they're listening, whoever's listening, look at the dignified way the Jews reacted, the Israelis reacted. All the time, there was no attack on mosques. There was no attack on individual or collective Muslims.
Right.
I come from Iraq. I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, if anything like that had happened in Iraq, let's say a Christian had done such a thing,
oof,
they would have murdered 1,000 Christians. They would have burned right. the churches down.
Right.
And by the way, they are doing it now, even without right. anybody attacking them. Something right. else I want to say.
Yes.
Never in the history of Islam were the Muslims ever victims.
Never. Ever. Ever. You're right. Ever. They weren't even victims when Muslim apologists will explain why Muhammad was a terrorist. And they will explain, well, you know, he was this mighty army general because the first Muslims were being persecuted by the Meccans, the pagans. And that wasn't even true. It was the Muslims, the first Muslims, Muhammad, who preyed upon the Meccans. He robbed them. He raped them. Murdered them. He enslaved them. He kidnapped them. He constantly harassed them. And so there isn't a single situation of any material consequence where Muslims have been victims, unless it is the case, like, for example, in the case of the Central African Republic. If you take an isolated incident out of the chronology of events, there are places where the Christian and animist population have, after having been bludgeoned by Muslims and beaten and into submission and had their loved ones kidnapped, raped, and killed, they will, on occasion, respond. The Serbs, for example, after having been massacred by Muslims and subjected to the most cruel kinds of conditions, finally said, you know, enough's enough, and they responded. So there are times where if you take the response out of context with what inspired it, you could say, well, a Muslim was a victim of such and such in Bosnia. But not if you look at the response and context of what inspired it.
Invariably, throughout the history of Islam, starting with Muhammad, we were discussing Muhammad. Mm-hmm. Apologists always say that he was defending himself. Ladies and gentlemen, let me explain something to you. Simple question. What would happen to any human being, whether Muslim or otherwise, who goes to any mosque anywhere in the world and shouts in the mosque, Allah is a pedophile, Muhammad is a terrorist? What do you think would happen to him?
Oh, he'd be killed. I mean, mercilessly killed. There'd be no court. There would be no indictment. They'd be dragged out, and they would be kicked and stoned and stabbed to death. They would probably even have their head cut off, and then their body would be hauled through the streets in effigy. That's what would happen.
Okay.
And by the way, the example that you gave, the statement is true. They would be beaten, even though the individual in this case told the truth.
Correct.
Yes.
What I'm trying to get at
yes.
is that Muhammad, from the year 610, when he started mm-hmm. his so-called mission,
right.
he was insulting the pagan Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
He was demonizing their grandfathers and fathers. He was saying that their children and their parents and everything are in hell.
Mm-hmm.
He insulted them. He denigrated them. He attacked them.
Right.
And yet they didn't kill him.
No, they didn't.
They didn't beat him, and they could have killed him a million times.
No, they mocked him.
No matter what, later on, the hadith said that Hamza supported him or Ali supported him. Ali and Hamza were single individuals. The right. tribe would have exterminated them.
Right.
But they were not as evil as right. Muhammad.
Of course.
They were not as evil as Islam.
No, in fact, they seem like they were, for the most part, fairly reasonable and rational people based on the information they had, because the Quran makes it quite clear that all of those who knew Muhammad best mocked him. They said, you're a liar. You're demon-possessed. You're in this for yourself. You're craving sex, power, and money. You're a complete con man and fraud. But they didn't kill him. Welcome back to Shattering Myths, having a conversation with IQ al-Rasuli about something that if people's minds were actually open, if they were rational, if they were perceptive, if they could exercise good judgment, what we're witnessing right now in Jerusalem, in Israel, should be sufficient for them to understand why Islam cannot be tolerated. Just the difference between one government condemning the murder of a boy and the other government celebrating it, saying it was a great thing to have done. One government saying, let's do an investigation and learn what happened. The other saying, let's jump to conclusions. One out rioting, condemning the other party, and the other out mourning. How could you have a bigger contrast between what Islam does and what the rest of the world, how the rest of the world behaves?
One thing very important.
Yes.
Throughout the history of Islam,
mm-hmm.
throughout, starting with Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
they always pretended to be the victims. We say that earlier.
Always. Yeah, even in the Quran. I mean, the first 90 surahs of the Quran revealed chronologically are really nothing more than a childish, I don't know what you call them in Europe, but we call them a grammar school here. A grammar school argument of, well, you said my mother's ugly, so your mother's uglier than my mother. And I'm going to have my daddy. He's going to come and beat you up because you said my mother was ugly. That basically is the first 90 surahs of the Quran. Is it not?
It is. There is nothing, you know. We said it many, many times. The tragedy is people don't even bother to read it.
Of course.
All I asked on my numerous occasions, have you read the Quran? They say no, but they have an opinion. I said, at least have the decency of reading up to chapter 9. Mm-hmm. Don't go beyond chapter 9. You don't need to.
You don't need to. But everything I've just said happens to be after chapter 9 because the beginning of the Quran is at the end of the Quran. But even in that, where the Quran records the Meccans, those who knew Muhammad best, mocking him, laughing at him, saying that he was nothing but a fraud. And then Muhammad's telling them, my God's going to torture you in hell. My God's going to get you. He's going to pour molten pitch down your throats. He's going to pull off your skin and then give you a new skin so he can pull off your skin again. And all those kind of really swell things. Allah's a really nice God. That even then, IQ, Muhammad is trying to present himself and his religion as the victim of Meccan oppression. But the fact is, what you said is the truth. The only reason that the Meccans were responding verbally to Muhammad is because Muhammad attacked them verbally.
Something else Americans don't know, especially Christians, believe it or not. When I discuss Islam and how dangerous it is, how aggressive it is, some idiot Christian will come to me and say, of course he's a liberal, what about the Crusades? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Crusades were an answer or a reply to 350 years of jihad, during which time, 350 years, women of Christianity, men of Christianity were either raped, kidnapped, sold in slavery, or murdered.
Correct, because the Crusade, once Muhammad created Islam, during the time that Muhammad was the head of this new religion that he conceived of Islam, well, he led 75 terrorist raids, led or inspired 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years. And every one of the terrorist raids was to rob people, rape the women, sell the children into slavery, kill the men, steal their property. I mean, that's the only reason that Muhammad engaged in any one of these 75 terrorist raids. That after Muhammad's death, Islam became the most barbaric killing machine and the most plundering group of barbarians the world has ever seen. I mean, that's what happened. And that was between around 615 CE to around 750 CE. There was no group of people in all of human history more savage than were the Muslims during that 100-year period.
Absolutely true. Hundreds of millions of people were slaughtered.
Yeah, and the Crusades were the Crusades were a response 400 years later. 300 years later, 300 to 400 years later, after Christians around the known world had been raped, slaughtered, kidnapped, enslaved, men had been killed. It's after the people had all been robbed, 300 to 400 years later, the Crusades were a response to that kind of activity. That being the case, it was still a stupid response. Way too late, when wrong means to attack a religion. We'll be back with IQ Al-Rasuli in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Having a discussion with IQ Al-Rasuli, the author of Lifting the Veil, about the history of Islam. Because what we're witnessing today in Jerusalem, in Israel, is Muslims pretending to be victims of Muslims actually perpetrating deadly murders and terror, and how even though they're always the perpetrators, they always present themselves as victims. Why do you think that is, IQ?
Because Muhammad did the same thing. People have got to understand something. I know it's difficult for Western mind, in fact, for any sane mind to accept.
Mm-hmm.
1,500 million people follow literally word for word the Sunnah, that means the traditions of Muhammad. They follow it because as far as they're concerned, Muhammad was the most perfect male that has ever walked the earth. You and I and the Quran and Hadith tell us 100% clearly, that the most vile, bipedal creature that ever walked the face of the earth was Muhammad.
Yes.
But they believe that he is the most perfect thing.
Yeah. He was a perfect rapist.
Being aided and abetted by our media, by our politicians, by our clergy, and by our academia.
Yeah. In fact, Secretary of State of the United States just yesterday said that the killing of Mohammed was a heinous revenge killing, and that revenge and killings are unacceptable. And yet he would have absolutely no way to know if Muslims or Jews killed him. And even if a Jew killed him, it's a simple crime. It's not a collective mindset.
Of course it isn't. The point is this. Look at the reaction of each side.
Right.
Listen to what they say. Speak for them.
Yeah.
By the way, I want Americans to understand something. Muslims always use their own children and women as a shield. Look what they're doing from Gaza.
Look who's the majority of suicide bombers.
Civilian areas so that Israel retaliates, kills civilians, and they show it in the world that Israel is a criminal.
That's right.
Well, the criminal is not Israel. The criminal are the Muslims, because they are using their own children, their own women, as targets for the enemy.
90%
Israel uses precision attacks.
90% of suicide bombers are young boys. Children.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll willingly sacrifice their own. I think there's another reason that is eminently observable in our world, why Muslims present themselves as the victims. What do you suspect that is? I mean, I think it is obvious. Every time you see a Muslims in their community protesting and rioting and throwing sticks and stones, do you also see the other reason why Muslims feel the need to present themselves as victims?
Enlighten me, please.
Okay. When you compare the prosperity, the inventiveness, the sense of opportunity and hope in a Islamic area versus an area that is not influenced by Islam, do you notice the difference?
Of course. In the Islamic area, there are no prospects. There is no future.
There's no
hope.
There
is no happiness.
Right.
There is not nothing. It's dead.
Right. Right.
Muslims are zombies. They are the living dead. This is why they always tell the world that we Muslims love death, while you non-Muslims love life.
Correct. Now, let's put this in perspective. The Quran says that ultimately the truth about Allah's superiority will be borne out in the history of cultures, and that all you have to do is to look at the difference between an Islamic culture and a non-Islamic culture, and you will have proof of the superiority of Islam. But in reality, not only do we see the opposite of that, the opposite of it is ubiquitous, and it's to an extent that is even hard to fathom how most of the Islamic world is still back in the 7th century. And so, right, and so Muslims are trying to figure out, how is it that they're so impoverished? How is it that they're so incapable? How is it that they achieve so little? And rather than blaming themselves and their religion, they blame others. So they present themselves as victims because their religion has impoverished them in every possible way.
Yada, you know as well as I do. The more they are depressed, the more their imams tell them, you are bad, you are unsuccessful because you are not following Sharia. And the more they follow Sharia, the worse their condition becomes. Psychologically, physically, intellectually, in any way, shape, or form. Why? Because Sharia is hate-mongering, war-mongering, misogynist, racist, duplicitous, disloyal, intolerant. There's no happiness in it.
Right.
There's nothing in the future there. That's why young men would rather die because their life on earth is not worth it, expecting the 72 virgins in Muhammad's version, Muhammad's whorehouse version of paradise.
Yeah. But I think that's only half of what the imams are telling one-third. One-third is if your life is unsuccessful, it's because you are violating Sharia. Your life is unsuccessful because those Jews and those crusaders, those Christians, are oppressing you. They're killing you. They're killing your hope. And so you need to lash out at them because they're the ones that have put you in this situation. And the third thing that they're saying is that the Quran orders Muslims to fight and kill until the entire world submits to Islam. So they're inspiring them to be terrorists and to be jihadists. They're inspiring them to hate everyone who isn't a Muslim, and they're telling them to adhere to a system that is sure to keep them oppressed.
Well, in some debates that I had, I asked the Muslims, for 500 years, there was no Christian oppression of Islam. You were under the all of them, most of the Muslim world and the Arab world, especially the Arab world, was under the Ottoman Empire, which is Muslim.
Right.
So why is it for the last 500 years, not a single, you can't name 10 Muslims in the last 500 years. You cannot name 10 Muslims who have contributed anything to the betterment and or advancement of humanity in any field.
In any field. In any field. Yeah, I don't care. In any field.
Thank you.
Yeah. You can't name one university that's in the top 500 in the world.
But you can't name universities.
You can't name a single product that is designed and manufactured in the Islamic world, which is consumed by people the world over.
And the answer to this, there is a common denominator. You have 57 Muslim majority states in the world. Not a single one of them is a functioning democracy. Not a single one of them is productive.
Right.
Forget about the oil. The oil doesn't even belong to them.
Right.
The people. It was the West, especially the Christian West, who created their oil.
Yeah, you said the right term. You said productive. Having Christians and atheists come in to extract oil and to pay them for it does not make their economy productive. If you remove the oil revenues from those 57 Islamic countries, you have the most impoverished people on the planet, bar none.
By the way, if you remove the oil, the gross national product of 57 Muslim majority states is less than that of Spain.
Yes, that's correct.
That's 57 Muslim majority states with 1,500 million people, less than the productivity gross national product of Spain.
That's right. And it's truly astonishing that when the world looks at the relative poverty and in every possible way, educational poverty, health poverty, civil rights poverty, inventiveness poverty, the deprivation of life in every Islamic country, and they can't figure out, well, maybe since the only common denominator is Islam, maybe Islam is responsible. It's the same thing of terrorism. Muslims commit 99.9% of the world's terrorist acts. Why is it that the world has a problem associating terrorism with Islam?
Yeah. They won't look at the mirror. Muslims will never look at the mirror. Why? Because the mirror will show them what they are.
Hideous.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know.
And utter morons.
Yeah. When the three Israeli boys were kidnapped and then murdered, I made a statement. And it's a statement that I very seldom make. And I had to precede it by saying, I'm not a violent person. I'm not encouraging violence. And I don't want anyone to act on these words. But they are nonetheless true. If tomorrow every fundamentalist Muslim on the planet were gone, vaporized, the world would be a vastly better place.
There's no question about that. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about it. And this is nothing to do with racism. Islam is not a race.
It's a religion.
So there is no racism.
No.
And being afraid of Islam is not Islamophobia. This is bullcrap. Islamophobia is a contradiction in terms. People who want you dead, you have to be afraid of them. Islamophobia, phobia means irrational fear. Not fearing Islam is irrational. Fearing Islam is totally rational.
And I would say fearing only in the sense of recognizing how loathsome, how merciless, how vicious the religion is. You and I are the antithesis of fearing Islam, because you and I have had between us probably 10,000 death threats. And the last thing that crosses our mind is fear of Islam. If you're going to tell the truth about Islam, you can have no fear whatsoever of the religion. But you need to recognize that if people don't do what we're doing, if they don't expose and condemn the religion truthfully, honestly, forcefully, bluntly, then this religion is, in fact, going to destroy the world as we know it. We're going to be back with IQ Rizzoli after the commercial break. And we'll talk about the Islamic State and its new caliph and what it portends for the world. But I have appreciated this segment with you, IQ, as we talk about the reaction in Israel and with the Muslims on the death of children. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're continuing our conversation with IQ Al-Rasuli. IQ, on Sunday, there was a 38-minute news release from the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, renaming itself the Islamic State, and announcing that its leader, an individual that almost never speaks and is never pictured, used to be called al-Baghdadi, but his given name is Ibrahim. He is now Caliph Ibrahim, and that he has reestablished the caliphate. What's your reaction? Oh, IQ, I guess you dropped off and I haven't clicked the you to be back live again. I'm sorry. So what's your reaction to the announcement by the Islamic State and their new caliphate?
In very simple, polite terms, bullcrap. Doesn't mean anything. He can declare himself whatever he wants. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's a threat, okay. But Saudi Arabia moved 30,000 troops now to the border with Iraq.
Mm-hmm. You know, but one of the things that's interesting about the Saudi Arabians moving their troops to the border of Iraq, Saudi Arabians said they moved them there to keep the Islamic State from invading Saudi Arabia, because they probably would find significant support among rank-and-file Muslims in Saudi Arabia. And, of course, the same thing is true with Jordan. The mythical people known as the Palestinians would take up arms and fight Abdullah and his government in Jordan. But it's also possible that since Saudi Arabia has been arming the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria and has been using them as a proxy to fight against Shia Islam, that they're there because of the civil war that's now taking place in Iraq, and they don't want the Shiite Americanized army of Iraq taking advantage of their northern frontier.
It's possible also, but they are being threatened. By the way, ISIS has every intention of removing the Saudi monarchy. There's no question about that.
And by the way, I'm in that battle, I'm not sure which one would be worse.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I have two devils. And when two devils fight each other, I'm just not going to intervene and try to get in between that that fight. Let the two devils fight. Same thing is true between the Sunnis in Iraq and the Shia. I think it's sad that America supplied the weapons on both sides. I think it's sad that America broke the country that allowed that created this environment where so many people are being killed. I think that's despicable on behalf of my country. But if they want to go kill each other, there is nothing the world should do to intervene.
None whatsoever. None. It's not our business.
No.
It's not our business to interfere in Syria It's not our business to interfere in South Africa, in Africa, Central Africa. It's not our business. They want to kill each other. Good luck to them.
Let me ask you this question. If America were to reengage in Iraq and were to send back 300,000 troops in Iraq and were to stay there for 10 years, keeping the Sunnis and Shias apart and getting themselves caught in the crossfire, is there any chance that when America left, that the Sunnis and Shias would all get along and they would have one wonderful integrated country living in peace and harmony?
No chance in hell.
Yeah.
None. You ask a simple question, I give you a simple answer.
Yeah. Not one chance in a billion, is there?
No.
So there is nothing we can do to solve this problem.
Well, we shouldn't be solving the problem. It's not our business to solve the problem.
Yeah.
Our business is to keep ourselves safe.
Right. By the way,
terrorism from Islam.
I'm not even sure it's a problem. Let's just say that the Islamic State, to use their new name, has leagued, which I think they have, with members of the Ba'athist Party, the Sunni warlords, and former members of Saddam Hussein's military, and that they now have a formidable force. They're extraordinarily well-armed, billions of dollars of American hardware, and billions of dollars in capital, and most popular fundamentalist Islamic organization ever on planet Earth. And let's just say that they then attack Iran. Isn't that beneficial?
Of course.
So it really isn't a problem.
It doesn't interfere.
No, it's really not a problem.
Fighting with each other. It's not our problem.
Agreed. It's not our problem at all. As a matter of fact, while death is sad in this particular case, if the Sunnis are holding the Shias down and accountable, they're not going to deploy their nuclear weapons anytime soon.